Good evening. I would like to call to order the Monroe City Council regular business meeting of Tuesday, January 14th, 2014. I will now ask our city clerk, Elizabeth Smoot, to call the roll, please.
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Garing.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to ask Councilmember Hanford to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item of business for this evening is a promotion of a police sergeant. I'll turn the meeting over now to Chief Quisner. Chief?
For anyone who asks, yes, the font is big enough that I can read this. Somebody had already asked that, so I thought I'd get that cleared up. Thank you all who are in attendance, Mayor Thomas, council members, family and friends of those being recognized tonight, and thank you to Judge Cleff. Sergeant Paul Ryan began his career with the City of Monroe in 2005 as a police officer. Sergeant Ryan has consistently proven himself to be a valuable asset to the department through his work quality and high work ethic. He has brought recognition to this department through his assignment to the Snohomish County Auto Theft Task Force, where he participated as an essential team member and received a certificate of commendation and Distinguished Service Award for his high level of service. Sergeant Ryan has worked with this department in an acting sergeant capacity on and off for the past year, and I've seen him use excellent judgment while in this role, which makes it my privilege to recognize his promotion tonight. Paul's family and wife, LaDonna, join him here tonight. Please help me welcome Sergeant Paul Ryan. Paul, would you like to introduce your wife and LaDonna and your family?
I would, yeah. I can have my wife, Sam, and have our two children. We have Evan, seated right here, who's 4, and Eli, who's 2. Also supported by my parents here in the front row, and my mother-in-law right back here, and my brother and his family in the back.
I am proud to recognize you before this council. I value your commitment to the Monroe Police Department, and I also like to, once we're done here, invite those attending this promotion to the police department for some refreshments. Now, could I have Judge Cleff, would you please come up and I have a document there?
Let's see if we can get you. They're here for you, not for me. Where's the last 9 years gone? I see you've been busy, but I.
Thank you.
Raise your right hand, please. Repeat after me. I, Paul Ryan.
I, Paul Ryan.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of police sergeant for the City of Monroe Police Department.
Of police sergeant for the City of Monroe Police Department.
And I will do so to the best of my abilities.
And I will do so to the best of my abilities.
Congratulations.
Tries to okay. Well, tell me he's wearing the
best. Yes, I know. There we go.
Yes, sir. We'll take a recess until 7:10. So that's a 2-minute recess, roughly.
Okay, we can get the unmonitored.
Okay, we're going to come back into session now. The next item of business is a public hearing on marijuana land use and business license applications moratorium. I would like to ask our staff. Ms. Propelka to provide us with a staff briefing before the public hearing. Paul?
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to give you a brief recap overview on what it is we're talking about tonight and what some of these nuances are with this marijuana legislation. But before I do that, I'd just been handed something from Association of Washington Cities. I don't know if you've seen this, but there are two bills being introduced at the two House bills at the legislature. The first one repeals the previous medical marijuana legislation and revises it. And it's the first step toward quote, reconciliation of the medical and recreational marijuana systems. I'm trying to start to merge the two rather than keep two totally separate legislations or sets of regulations. The second bill, House bill, is for sharing a portion of the revenues from the state to local jurisdictions. I think right now the position is that there is no revenue sharing based on the marijuana tax. And this bill would allow cities or local jurisdictions to keep 30% of the 25% tax that's levied at the point of sale. So they're talking about a fair amount of revenue, but that's the second bill that's going forth. And the word is that the Attorney General should be rendering an opinion on local option or whether local jurisdictions can opt out of marijuana and ban within the next few weeks. That's going to have quite an impact one way or another. So with that, a brief recap. Right now we have a moratorium in place, as you know, that prohibits issuing of business licenses for marijuana-related businesses. And we have enacted a permanent ban on medical marijuana in the ordinance you approved, just within the last month or so. At this point, the state will be issuing or may issue Monroe one retail license. And the way that process works is that they have, I don't know how many applications, many, many applications. They will vet through those applications and disqualify probably most of them. And then it will come down to a lottery when they get down to that final pot. Excuse me, wrong place of words. I didn't see that coming.
Oh, my goodness.
When they get down to the final batch of applications, could be entertaining. They will do a lottery, and they will choose one retail license for Monroe. So there'll be a limit of one. There could be more than one, as there are 16 at-large licenses in Snohomish County. So if I was fortunate enough to land a at-large license, I could locate a retail business wherever it was allowed in the county. So there could potentially be two in Monroe, maybe three. But and we'll talk about a map and zoning in just a minute. But that's the situation with the state licensing for retail. There is no limit on the number of processing or production operations in a local jurisdiction. It's not subject to the same procedure as retail sales. But you'll see on the map that I've got up here that, and you've seen this map before, that sets forth the restrictions of where these businesses might potentially locate. So tonight we have this public hearing to solicit some testimony, and we also are looking for potential action on adopting interim regulations, more detailed regulations like we've had in the past, that would interim regulations that would prescribe where production, processing, and retail sales can be located. You've seen this map before. And in essence, we, by the form of our zoning code, which requires buffers, 1,000-foot buffers from schools, libraries, parks, preschools, those sorts of places, it eliminates all of this yellow-colored area, the red being the buffer-generating areas like El Borland Park, school, and so forth. Industrial is allowed here in general production is allowed in general industrial here, the very far end of North Kelsey. It's where the Lakeside plant is. Processing is allowed here near the fairgrounds, and in this little area here inside the Frylands Industrial Park. One thing that, and retail, the last item, which I think you probably have the most concern about, is now allowed around this ring here of North Kelsey. This would be Walmart right in here. This would be Chain Lake Road coming down. So there, this area east of Chain Lake could potentially be a place where you would locate, where I could locate retail sales if I had a license. And another caveat, probably more importantly, if I could find a landlord willing to rent me space for that business. Now there's another change here. We had missed a church and potentially a future school, Cornerstone Academy. We have a pre-development meeting tomorrow for a school in that building. That would, and it does now, take out this area around 522 and West Main, where there could have been retail sales, that no longer is possible.
Paul, directly below that, that's the high school, is that correct?
High school?
The big red, there? That's the high school.
Okay, thank you, I just want to make sure.
So the high school took out this area, and, what would this be? Tell me. Okay, that took out, you know, this area, but then this church fills in the gap that was here that would have allowed potential for retail sales. So there's the only place for retail now is in the North Kelsey and east side of Chain Lake. That's it. Processing again here in the Frylands and here, and production only on one piece of property. So that gives you some perspective on if we allowed, openly allowed marijuana businesses, there's some pretty serious restrictions on those businesses.
Okay. We have a couple questions up here. First, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Paul, just being the map freak that I am, if you follow along West Main, there are four parcels in white right there. I believe those are, one of those, I believe, is a church, is it not? One of there's the St. Vincent de Paul, the former Coast to Coast place is the triangle right there, isn't it?
Four Square.
Right. Yeah. There's a Four Square church right there. I think that whole area should be blocked out.
Right.
Now there's residential to the north, but to the which wouldn't apply anyway. But I believe that is commercial to the south. And
but uses are not allowed. No marijuana uses are allowed in the mixed use zone.
And since we rezoned it, okay, and that's technically mixed use, not
right. That's probably why that.
I just thought it odd that I know there's a church there and that there wasn't a yellow circle around it. So
if there is, and
there is.
Right, then we'll need to add another circle just for the record.
Right, just wanna, although there wouldn't want to leave anybody on
anywhere
in the southern, well, between Highway 2 and Main, they're only allowed in that general industrial area. No retail sales at all, except where they're being booted out by buffers up here. There is a little bit of room here along Highway 2, the south side of Highway 2. This would be... yeah, grocery outlet, I think it's right in here. So that it pretty much excludes,
for all practical purposes, that. But it's, you know, it's always a possibility.
It wouldn't have to be along Highway 2, probably.
Councilmember Kemp?
Oh, thank you.
Councilmember Kemp?
Thank you. I may have missed this. I apologize for having you leave. But when you say production, are you including distributorships as well? So if there's a production source outside there, they have essentially a warehouse in town that would be allowed without restriction?
Production is strictly production.
So
growing.
So a third party who is just doing distributorship would be, I mean, they're not selling it, they're just distributing.
I believe that would be a part of processing, if I'm not mistaken.
So,
but
okay.
Actually, production and processing would be allowed in the general industrial.
But you'd have the church restrictions, the other restrictions we talked about before, would be applied to them.
It would. Yes.
Okay. That's why I wanted to know.
Any marijuana business is subject to the restrictions.
Thank you.
Just the last couple of points. We talked about potential legislative action that I was going to say that something may happen, and sure enough, here it's, we have a couple of bills going to the legislature. And the AG opinion, the Kent case banning medical marijuana is still tied up in the courts somewhere at a higher level. The last point I wanted to raise was regarding the relationship to local and federal law. If we issue business licenses at the local level, whether we're in violation. And I got just a little more information about that. The city would issue a business license based on the authority extended by the state, with the state issuing license at that level. It, I guess, enables, in a sense, the city to issue licenses based on that authority, with the, I guess, the caveat that the legality and the relation of issuing that license in violation of the Controlled Substance Act, federal law, would become a matter of state and federal determination of what they're going to do, and subject probably through some kind of court action, future court action, to really decide the issue. But it's my understanding that in issuing a business license, should we do so, it does clearly state that the business applicant is subject to compliance with all state and applicable state and federal laws. So that relieves the city of liability, because the applicant is the one with the liability. And that's basically it, I think. It's going to be, this whole federal issue has been a thorn, has been a real issue all along, and what it's going to do is end up leaving it to the courts to figure out. Can I take some questions?
I don't see any questions right now. We'll go ahead and move on to the public hearing. And
thank
I'm
you,
sure
Paul.
We'll have
Paul.
More follow-up with you afterwards. Thank you.
Can I get a copy of that map? Can I get a copy of that?
Okay. I'll now open up the citizen portion of the public hearing. I have 10 people signed up right now to speak on this matter. I will call you up in order as presented on the list. And so first up, we have Mr. Is it Ketchin or Ketchel?
Dave
Ketchel, please come on up. Please state your name and also address for the record. And you have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, members of the community. I'm Dave Ketchel. For almost 20 years, I've been working with multicultural at-risk youth and families as a licensed professional counselor, and I'm now the prevention intervention specialist for the Monroe School District. I volunteer with the Monroe Community Coalition, and I'm here representing their mission. The coalition is committed to preventing and reducing youth substance use and abuse in our community. The coalition formed after Monroe was selected in April by the Washington State Department of Social and Health Services, Division of Behavioral Health and Recovery, to participate in a prevention redesign initiative to reduce youth alcohol and other drug use in the community. This project is designed to create healthier and safer neighborhoods. The coalition has volunteers from the school district, police department, faith community, local community-based centers like YMCA, Take the Next Step, CMAR, and Cocoon House. One of the factors that helped secure the project for Monroe was our track record for successful collaboration. We are obviously a community very committed to the health and safety of our children. Initiative 502 and the legalization of recreational marijuana use in Washington State has created a new conversation around the appropriate regulation, responsible ownership, and enforcement of the Schedule I drug. The Washington State Liquor Control Board has been tasked with creating a statewide regulatory system. It is the role of local and local governing bodies to implement this system on a community level. Recommendation. This coalition requests Monroe City Council to implement a moratorium extension of 6 months to ensure proper and responsible research on the impact of our community. Reasoning. This new implementation has many unknown effects on a community. We request this moratorium extension to allow the necessary time for further study and public comment on the impact of marijuana licensing on our local community's youth. It's said that a smart person learns from his mistakes. It's also said that a wise person learns from the mistakes of others. There's no need to hurry action. Therefore, the coalition requests this council to initiate an informal study of the impact of the following items. One, youth under 21 access and exposure to marijuana and marijuana advertising. Two, consideration of the 2012 Healthy Youth Survey data of Monroe students. Three, risk and protective factors and predictive factors, including access and perception of harm, for example, from the monitoring the future research, especially the lag effect of 1 to 2 years before some effects materialize in youth. Four, mitigation. Using cost-benefit analysis data of similar-sized communities and possibly generalize those implications to our community. Five, environmental impact, including air quality, pesticides, water quality, energy use, and proper disposal. Six, community safety, including increased expectation on law enforcement within its current capacity and a clear articulation of law enforcement's role prior to granting any license. Seven, a true space analysis of the zoning map outlining the spaces available for licensing following the 1,000-foot rule as stated in the Initiative 502, Part 3, Section 18, but consider expanding what the letter of the law states to include the spirit of the law, the spirit or intent being to include businesses in areas that are frequented by youth and families. Eight, communicate with other communities like Monroe about their lessons learned and possible legal implications, which we can then possibly generalize to our community, such as vesting rule sets. Nine, our coalition is committed to assisting you in gathering the required data to answer these stipulations concerning the requested moratorium extension. So 10, please publish and report these findings to the community and allow us sufficient time for community response before a council vote is taken. We request these action items be carefully considered and completed thoroughly before any land development or licensing for growing, processing, or selling of marijuana takes place within the city of Monroe. We believe an extended moratorium is prudent. Time will allow additional research to be collected and analyzed to ensure responsible and appropriate implementation of this new law. And time gives us an opportunity to gain wisdom, learning from the mistakes of others who implement this law to safeguard our youth. Respectfully, Monroe Community Coalition. I have my statements here, a copy for everyone, and I sent out an email with all of my research gathered as attachments.
Thank you. If you could give those to our city clerk, I'd appreciate it. And thank you very much, Mr. Ketchel, for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next person that I have on the list is Mr. Steve Whalen. As you come up, please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. My name is Steve Whalen. I live at 14924 Austin Avenue Southeast, 98272. In any controversial issue, if you do your research, you can find evidence or you can find research that supports either side, and I've done some research on this. I did find one article published in 2009 in the New York Times, entitled Marijuana is Gateway Drug for Two Debates. And I'm not going to spell that out, but if anybody's interested, I can provide the link for that article. I found that to be the most non-biased address of this issue that anywhere I'd seen. What I would like to take a minute and talk about is my own personal journey, my own personal situation. I smoked pot for the first time at age 16. When I was 17, I was recreationally using and hanging out with friends who also did the same thing, and we used to vehemently declare that we would never progress onto harder drugs. We thought it was ridiculous. By the time my 18th birthday came around, I was smoking marijuana daily, multiple times daily, and realized at one point that I was addicted, and that concerned me a little bit, but not enough to really break out of it. When I was 19, the same group of friends, we laughed at the naivete that we had, that we thought that we would never graduate onto harder drugs. Every one of us had progressed onto cocaine, LSD, various forms of amphetamines. And to be honest, I took some drugs to this day. I have no idea what they were, just because of the setting. My wife can attest to the results of that. When I was 19, I also made the statement that I would not live to be 30. And the scariest part of that for me was I didn't care. The result of that is, out of all these different discussions over the years, there were seven of us that were close friends that spent a lot of time together. Out of those seven, two left the drug culture of their own volition. And of those two, one of those has had significant health and heart problems resulting from his substance abuse these many years. One, while still abusing drugs in his late 40s, died in Mexico under some mysterious circumstances. Four of us experienced profound Christian conversions resulting in our release from addiction. Now, that's a story I could tell at another time. Now's not the place. Unless a person has experienced addiction, they really truly cannot comprehend it. For the good of our future community and for the youth, I urge you to extend the moratorium. And 6 months, great. How about indefinitely? I realize that finances is at the core of this for being a positive contribution to our city. And I am as in line with anybody for seeing Monroe progress and grow and increase. But there comes a point, I believe, where the consequences, the detrimental consequences, culturally, socially, would outweigh any financial gain. And another concern has been brought up is when it comes to youth, if it's available at all, they will get a hold of it. And it would just be a gateway, I believe, to some real dire circumstances in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp, you had...
Point of privilege, Mr. Mayor. Could we get either turn that light off or get a stronger... the projector light right there? Right.
Oh.
There. Turn it off or cover it or something. The glare is...
And while that's going on, I'd like to have the record show that Councilmember Gamble came into the chambers at about 7:10.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
I don't see how you guys can handle.
Thank you, Councilmember. Next person that we have is Mr. Dale Taylor. Can you please come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record?
Good evening, Council and Mayor. My name is Dale Taylor. I live at 17922 131st Place Southeast. And I'm coming here as a concerned citizen. And if you don't mind, I'm a little long in the tooth, so I'll have to read it. My mother and father came here in 1928, or approximately that, 1928. And they saw this beautiful, quaint little town and decided to just settle here and raise the family. I was born here 81 years ago, and a lot of young families since that time had the same impression my parents had. Good little community to raise your kids in, safe. And a lot of small businesses have been here and successfully settled here for that same reason. We're on the brink of a lot of growth of not only population-wise but business-wise. And I don't think the element of legal marijuana or recreational marijuana business will enhance this community at all. And I don't think it'll entice young families to settle here. They want their kids to grow up where they probably won't be exposed to that. We have a beautiful community to raise families in. It's my hope that this wise council will find in your hearts to vote no and extend the moratorium. I wonder, is it possible for me to read my wife's letter? She's home ill, and it's very brief.
Yes.
She says, her name's Joy Taylor, by the way. She lives at the same address I do. She says, I see no advantage to the city granting recreational marijuana to be sold in Monroe except to maybe collect more taxes. Do we really need to fund our community this way? Our first concern should be the safety and well-being of our children. Monroe has been a great place to raise children with nice parks, good schools, fairgrounds, lots of activities to choose from. We have a good YMCA, many churches, movie theaters, and coming soon, waterboarding. Why do we want a business that sells recreational, that does not do anything to build families and can raise, that can be secure to happy citizens? And she also wishes that you'd extend the moratorium. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Next person I have is Mrs. Sherry Swenson. Can you please come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. Sam. My name is Sherry Swenson. My address is 24044 Northeast 29th Street, Sammamish. Who can tell me the new motto of the city? I see it on all the mailings that I get at work here. I work in Monroe. The adventure begins, is that it?
Adventure starts.
The adventure starts here. You guys, or whoever came up with that motto, you wanted to create an image of Monroe. You don't want Monroe to be Hicktown. You don't want Monroe to be the pit stop on the way up the pass. You want Monroe to be a place where the adventure begins. You want to build this city, and you want to create an image of where you want this city to go. This debate cannot just be about the tax revenue for 2015. This debate has to be about what does the future of Monroe look like, and the image that we create of this city is going to affect that future and is going to direct where that future will be for your children, for my children, if I ever have any. What is the image of marijuana? Is it really a positive image? I have some friends who smoke marijuana. I do a lot of things in Seattle. I'm young, professional, I get around. And I wouldn't hire any of those friends. I wouldn't date any of them. It's not a positive image. We want to see Monroe grow. We will see Monroe grow. But who do you want to grow this city? I believe Mr. Taylor spoke quite a bit of young families coming in, and that's very legitimate when you look at marijuana and children. You're also looking at those who are living the adventure, young people like myself. And they're not the ones who are using recreational marijuana. Adrenaline is enough of a high. So I guess that's just my question to you, is what is the image of Monroe that you're creating? Anyone that you talk to in marketing will tell you that it's not just about selling product. It's about creating an image. Nike, just do it. You could probably tell me commercials, even quote commercials, that you can't even remember what the product was for. But they have successfully created an image in your mind. Budweiser, you know, a lot of times the commercial's over and you're like, what does that have to do with beer? And it's the same thing with Monroe. This is not just about some money coming in from marijuana. This is not just about this one little business in this one little town. It's about an image that you're creating of this town, an image that will be here years after the tax revenue comes in. And the people who will move here are going to move here based on the image that you create of this city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Swenson. The next person I have is Angelica Perkins. Will you please come up and state your name for the record as well as your address?
My name is Angelica Perkins. My address is 16008 166th Street Southeast, Snohomish, Washington, 98290. I don't have anything fancy or professional planned for this. I'm also just a concerned, even though I'm not technically a citizen of Monroe, I consider myself to live a lot closer to Monroe than Snohomish. I would personally like to say that I also believe that we should definitely extend, if not indefinitely, just remove any consideration of us legally selling marijuana. I've seen a lot of the negative effects of marijuana and other drugs that it brings to mainly young people. We've had many, many young teenagers and just young people stay with us in our home over the past few years, and I've seen so many, I've never seen one positive effect of any kind of drug use that they've done. I've only seen the ways that it affects them negatively, just mentally and physically and emotionally, and also personally with my stepdad. And I don't know for sure if all of them have used marijuana specifically, but I know that they've all used drugs in one way, shape, or form, and they've abused that use. And it's turned them into different people. And some of them have stopped, but some of them are still going at it. And I honestly believe that if we were to allow this city to start openly selling marijuana, that it would create an image for a lot of young people mainly. That's the main thing for me, that drugs are an okay and accessible thing. I mean, an acceptable thing to just go around using all the time, that it's cool and, wow, look, everybody else is doing it, so this looks fun, let's do it too. I mean, is that the kind of image we really want for this city? Is for the young people, the kids, the teenagers in this town, there's so many of them, to think, oh, they're legalizing it now, so it must be okay, and it must be cool, and it must be fun. I don't think that's the kind of image that our city needs, or if you're smart, really wants, honestly. It makes me really sad I'm thinking of different images in my head of people that I've known and seen come in and out of my house that have just come in using all of these drugs and just abusively using alcohol to the point where they're not the same people, and it really it affects everything. It doesn't just affect their brain, it affects their relationships, it affects the way that they go in the job, the workplace, and I don't personally plan on using marijuana or any drug anytime soon. And I'm just coming from a place of concern and just wholeheartedly believing that we should either extend this moratorium or just forget any idea of selling legal marijuana here in general.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next person on the list is Dolly Leistein. Could you come up and state your name and your address for the record, please? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dolly Leistein. I live at 15486 168th Street, and I live in Monroe. I moved here to this town 7 years ago. one of the reasons that I like this town is it's a nice place to live. You have parks. It was open. It's gorgeous here. I will admit it. Our views from our house are just beautiful of the mountains. I love it. One of my first experiences in Monroe is I moved here from a big city, not from the East Coast, 4th of July. I thought, nice, we're going to have the fireworks. I'd love to have some margaritas. Go to Fred Meyer to get some tequila. I could buy the margarita mix. And I ask him, where's the tequila? And I swear the person says to me, where are you from? And I'm like, what? And she says, you can't buy alcohol here. You have to go to the alcohol store. They told me where it was. It was banker's hours, which totally shocked me, too, because I'm not from this area. Blew my mind. That's how I kind of got to know my neighbors. My neighbors are fantastic neighbors, by the way. What I loved about that is the way that you controlled your alcohol. If you start listening to how the state wants to control this marijuana, it is the same thing. It will be strictly enforced. The age of 21, you will have to be carded. You will have to have these strict regulations that the alcohol stores have had to have. It's not like a 16-year-old can walk into one of these stores and say, hey, I see someone smoking pot, can I get a joint? That's not the intention of how these stores would be run. Would I like to see these stores here, one store here? Yes. Would I like to see Walmart here? No, but the city wants the tax revenue so Walmart can come in here. Would I love to be able to walk around Lake Tai and be able to let my dogs throw the bumper in there and have them go swimming without being hit by a tuber? Because Monroe wants the money, so we're going to let Lake Tai all of a sudden be where you can pay to go on an inner tube in Lake Tai instead of being able to throw a bumper in there with your dog and not have to worry about it. Again, Monroe likes the money. When I first came to this town, one of my neighbors told me, heads up, we don't want Walmart in this town. We're always going to try and block it. We don't want Walmart. What has happened? Walmart has now found its way into this town. If you look at the taxes that would be put on these stores, how much taxes would be there, and then to hear what the gentleman said this morning, that maybe the towns could get a portion of that additional tax, Monroe is money hungry. Let's do it. I'm saying let's do it because then you will be able to monitor it. You'll be able to see it's 21 and over. You'll be able to see that the teenagers aren't going into this. Alcohol is legal. You have to be 21 years old to buy the alcohol. Are kids sitting at home getting drunk? Well, if the parents are fools and letting them, yes. If the parents are responsible, no. Do I think that Monroe has enough parents who are going to be responsible? God, I hope so, because I've raised my kids that way, and I'm hoping other parents have done the same here. Do I have children? Yes, I have one that's a third-year college student up at Seattle U, another one who's a news producer. They both graduated from Monroe. They both went to the high school. They're not heavy in drugs. They're not heavy into alcohol, and that's the way that I have raised them with my husband. Do I think other parents, if the pot comes in, can raise their children the same? Heck yeah. I don't see what the big deal is. You have to be a certain age to buy cigarettes. Where I work, we won't sell a cigarette lighter to anyone under the age of 18. That's a cigarette lighter. Now we're talking pot, and you think that these stores can't enforce that? You bust a store not selling it, you guys shut them down, just like you would the alcohol. I say let it in, give it a chance. Not to be mean, but when I moved here, I didn't think Monroe was as money hungry as you are on your taxes. You're letting Walmart in again. You're letting the wakeboarding in. Why not let these businesses in, but keep them on the string like you did the alcohol and go from there? And again, that's just my personal opinion, but I would love to see it. I would love to see it happen. And what's even crazier is I don't smoke or drink, and yet it's open and it's out here, but you can choose that. You know, you can choose not to do it. You know, and I'm just going to stop there. But you can choose not to do it. But I ask that you go ahead and think about this. Even if you say, okay, let's do this 6 months, but keep thinking about it. Think about the money coming in. Watch the news. See how it's going in Colorado and see how we can get our foot in the door and find a way of making it work, making the city work, and the money that you could be getting from those taxes could be helping with the police department, helping with the education. Think about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next person I have is Chris, is it Slemp? You can state your name for the record and your address, please.
Chris Slemp, 19631 Rainier View Road in Monroe, 98272. I could speak to you today. First of all, thank you, Mayor and Council, for letting us come and talk to you about this. I could speak to you today as an ecclesiastical leader. I am one here in Monroe. I have seen the effects at a pretty broad level in that position of the drug culture on the community. But that's not why I'm speaking to you today. Sorry. I'm speaking as a father of a son who is just now putting him pieces of his life back together. He dropped out as an addict, dropped out of Monroe High School as an addict as a sophomore. And between insurance and my own expense, it has cost upwards of $150,000 to get him clean. So I'm sorry, but arguments about tax revenue to the city kind of fall on deaf ears for me. The cost to the citizens of Monroe of a drug culture is large. To think that stores can control the access of these substances to our children is the height of naivete. You don't know high schoolers. You can also say that my son may be an outlier. There are plenty of studies that say these days that marijuana is not physically addictive. I know different. They say that marijuana can be used responsibly by responsible adults. Well, my son was introduced to marijuana 5 years ago by the parents of children in our community. Supposedly responsible parents. Parents who smoked with their children. And all those friends that perpetuated and contributed to that addiction are still here in Monroe, doing nothing at the age of 20. There's some more cost for you to the city. The people of Washington, they can make their decisions as a group. But for as long as we can in this community, we can decide differently. We shouldn't follow in our footsteps. I hope we can make a different decision here so that fewer parents have to endure what we did. I, as much as anybody, maybe more than the average, embrace the freedom to choose. To choose what you want to do. But those who choose, who feel that they are responsible enough to choose this, can drive to Everett if they want to. This is a no-brainer for me. Will licensing businesses in Monroe make it more or less likely that our children will repeat the story of my son? He will not be moving back here. There are too many people and too many triggers for him. You've lost a good boy. just weigh that in the costs. In your financial calculations of what this will do to the city, weigh that up too. That's what I ask. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person I have on the list is Michael Hanford. Will you please come up and state your name for the record and your address? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Michael Hanford, 19832 143rd Street, Southeast Monroe. I hope you will take time to read the handouts from the coalition. Marijuana is a gateway drug, and it's a doorway to other drugs And we don't want to open a door to the doorway in Monroe. We're not saying to make it illegal in Monroe. I mean, that would be great in my opinion, but you know, the state law is the state law. But we have control over what the businesses sell in Monroe, and this is just not a smart thing to license in Monroe. Your job and my job as a pastor and the roles that I function is to protect and help the innocent. And there's so many kids in Monroe, and you say, well, like someone has already said, well, the parents can take care of those kids and train them the right way and all that. But I think that we have to realize there's going to be a percentage of people, if we have an outlet in Monroe, one store, there's going to be a percentage of those people that are going to go on up to the ski areas and smoke it up there. There's going to be a percentage of those people that are going to stop, buy it, and use it in Monroe. And then there's going to be a small percentage that are going to stop and buy it and sell it to a young person in Monroe. I don't know what the percentages would be. And I wouldn't care to speculate, but in the state of Washington, one of your handouts from the coalition, 50% increase since marijuana was legalized in the rate of DUIs from marijuana. We don't want to subject innocent young people, children. It only takes one child being killed by an automobile from someone who's under the influence. We're more familiar with under the influence of alcohol, but and we've already got the problem. I mean, we haven't even started selling it in Monroe. So our police are already challenged, and they are enforcing making DUI arrests. That's just going to go up, whether we sell it or not. But why escalate it more by allowing it to be sold here in Monroe? You saw in the news a picture of a precious elderly woman that's all bruised and beaten up. And the story was that a young man that was high on marijuana beat this woman up. Young man, old woman. Obviously, not everybody who smokes marijuana is going to beat up an old woman. I'm not naive, but this is just, there's so many considerations that you have to make, and I am, and many of us are praying for you that you'll make a wise decision that will protect the innocent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hanford. The next person that I have is Verna Korsland. You come up and state your name for the record, please, and also your address.
Thank you, Mayor. Verna Korsland, 13410 Chain Lake Road, Monroe. And I come to you tonight in opposition of the issuance of licenses for the purpose of selling marijuana in our city, or producing it, or warehousing it, or in any form whatsoever. The sale of marijuana, of course, is going on all around us, in the county, in cities surrounding us who are accepting this, and And so it's naive to say that, of course, it wouldn't be in Monroe at all. It's going to be in Monroe. We're going to have to deal with the public use of it and how we're going to regulate that whole thing. But do we have to condone it and be a part of setting an example for those that come after us, our youth, our children, our grandchildren, by allowing the businesses to establish in Monroe? And this is a new issue. This is something that has not been tried and tested. Just passing the initiative a year ago, there's so many unknowns in this issue, and so many things to discover and find out about this. We don't have multiple cities with multiple establishment of ordinances that we can use as a guideline, that you can use as a guideline to make wise decisions. Unlike so many other things that we faced in this city, like the sexually oriented business ordinance, there is ordinances throughout the whole United States that we could rely on to look at that were tried and true and proven. But in this area, we don't have ordinances to look at it, to compare, and to be able to make a wise decision. So for these reasons, I strongly urge you and appeal to you to continue on with the moratorium that is in place, with the 5 months that are left in the moratorium, to study this issue, to look into it thoroughly, and assess the best direction to take. And if that isn't enough time, I urge you to extend it another 6 months. And this isn't an unusual thing to do in any issue that you're facing in a city. And the last time I was here, I brought to you a couple of options to just look at, to consider. And one of them was Wenatchee. And Wenatchee has taken a very bold, an unorthodox step towards this, but it's interesting. They have written an ordinance in their city that states all businesses within the city limits of Wenatchee must comply to federal law. And of course that eliminates them being able to establish any marijuana businesses. The other option is the opt-out possibility. And staff mentioned something about that tonight that I wasn't aware of, so I might have gotten different information from Olympia than staff did. But talking to some senators, I understand that in the life of an initiative, the first 2 years of the life of an initiative, it would take a major majority vote, a two-thirds vote, to be able to make any changes in an initiative whatsoever. And we're already 1 year into this. And so in another year's time, it would only take a simple majority to make any changes and to add that on of a city that may opt out. And that would solve the whole problem of those that do not want to have marijuana in their cities. But once again, thank you for letting me speak, and I just really urge you to continue on with this moratorium, to not make any decision. You have 5 months left to consider it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last person that I have on the list is Carrie Boone. If you'd please come forward to the podium and state your name and your address for the record, please.
Carrie Boone, 19921 Ravenwood Road Southeast, Monroe. First of all, I just want to acknowledge a few people that are here that are not all going to speak but agree with what I'm saying. If you could just wave. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share our opinions in this venue. And I was a little bit disturbed to see the map that you showed and that the only area where retail sales, I could, not that I would, probably throw a rock from my backyard and hit that area. And I live in a neighborhood with hundreds of children. There are 40 on my little street. And it is extremely concerning to me. There's such a beautiful walkway, sidewalk that the city has put in where the traffic to the movie theater, to the smoothie store, to the future Walmart, to Fred Meyer, to all of those things. I see people jogging, kids riding their bikes. It's a large pedestrian traffic area, and the last place we need a little to have my kids saying, "Mom, what does marijuana spell?" I strongly oppose, obviously, the sale of marijuana in our city, and there's so much research to show the damage that it does to our brains and to our judgment and to our ability to make sane choices. And having it be sold in our community, if we look at what's happened with alcohol, how that used to be very controlled, but it's sure in Safeway, not at banker's hours anymore. And I think that it's just a pattern or a gateway that we're opening, not just to harder drugs, but to it becoming more and more available to people of all ages. We don't have a lot of, as was just mentioned, we don't have a lot of history or resources to look to, but I think we have a couple, and I love also what Wenatchee has done in following the federal, that all businesses have to follow the federal law. I think we can look outside of the United States at Amsterdam, and I just wanted to mention a couple of studies or statistics from there, as that's a more long-term bit of data. It says growth, referring to cannabis use in Amsterdam, growth in commercial access to cannabis after de facto legalization was accompanied by steep increases in use, even among youth. And it also stated that marijuana advocates often point to the Netherlands as a well-functioning society with a relaxed attitude towards drugs, but they rarely mention that Amsterdam is one of Europe's most violent cities. In Amsterdam, officials are in the process of closing marijuana dispensaries or coffee shops because of the crime associated with their operation. And we don't have a lot of local places to look to for examples, but I think that's a great one. I urge the city to continue to petition state government to give our cities the option to opt out. I recognize that while you may not be in support of having marijuana sold in our city, that there are legal issues to worry about to protect our city. And I think that's a great way to go about it. Also, increasing ordinances to protect additional places where children would be, in addition to what the state has put in place. And thinking about what you do, what choices you make, and what message that sends to our children. I just urge you to do everything possible to prevent this from coming to our city. Thank you.
Thank you. So that was the last name that we have on our list. Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to address the council? Please come forward. Remember to state your name and also your address for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Kaylee Boone, 19921 Riverwood Road, Southeast Monroe, Washington, 9272.
Thank you.
Okay, so I am a student at Monroe High School. And I personally have witnessed and seen the effects of marijuana to fellow peers and students, and it's really disturbing, and it really bothers me a lot. And I agree 100% with what my mom said. But I would hope that the city of Monroe would do everything that they can to prevent the selling of marijuana in Monroe. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Yes, please come forward. Again, please state your name and also your address for the record.
I am Danielle Malmberg. My address is 17521 161st Street, Southeast, Monroe, Washington, 98272. I have lived in the Monroe community now for half of my life, as which I graduated from Monroe High School in 2002. When I moved here, I still thought coffee was for 18 and older. I was that naive. However, the first drug that I came across in Monroe schools were pharmaceuticals, things coming from parents' medicine cabinets. I noticed that heroin is a huge problem in the community. I even found a needle with heroin in it at my daughter's bus stop a couple weeks back. I know a lot of people in the community who are medical patients. Half of my block are medical patients. On that note, I have had the privilege and honor of working with several medical patients in my massage practice. I have a bachelor's of science with a minor in education. I am a massage practitioner and a licensed esthetician. Yes, I have smoked marijuana. Yes, I have done cocaine, all of which I have quit cold turkey, contrary to whatever people say. With working with people in hospice, I applaud the use of CBD oil, which is the pain-relieving element of cannabis. That particular thing I have found has helped more patients live through some of the most horrifying experiences of their life in a more positive manner. I have known people who have been cured of hepatitis C, breast cancer. I've known children who no longer have seizures because of such things being available to them. I know that the best approach is actually to be proactive and educate your community. It starts with family and families educating their children. The community I came from, you always saw the parents educating their children. In Monroe, it was a bunch of farm people when we moved here. And now it is becoming a more of a metropolis-style city. What I notice when I'm driving with all these regulations moving marijuana outside of cities, it's just on the edge of city lines. Therefore, people are driving further to obtain such things. Driving to Duval, there's two of them on the way to Duval, one in between Redmond and Duval as well. And that causes concern because, again, DUIs. And there's less police protection of those types of facilities to ensure that all the things are being taken care of. And if you look at Portugal, 12 years ago, they decriminalized drugs. And they say it's working, and the problem did not get worse. In fact, it got better. Suicide rates are down. Cost is down. They only spend $98 million a year to control their drugs. The U.S. spends $15 billion a year to control their drugs. As of 5:40 this afternoon, we've already spent $1,645,333,970. Over $1 billion, and how far are we in this, year so far? 437 people have been incarcerated, and that's an average of $30,000 a person per year. Most incarceration is for marijuana. I'm torn on the issue. I do think strict regulation is necessary. When I worked at a smoke shop in Sultan, if we even saw anybody talking to somebody outside, we would ask for that person's ID to sell them alcohol. Of which current statistics on that are that, alcohol is the number one used and abused substance by youth with 4,300 deaths per year.
and that's now in all stores in Washington State. So I believe one store with proactive community involvement and education would be more effective than prohibiting it completely. But knowledge is power, and making an educated decision one way or the other is best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Yes, please come forward. Please state your name for the record as well as your address. Thank you.
My name is Larry Corzlan. I live at 13410 Chain Lake Road, Monroe. And I just wanted to read this into the record for some friends that couldn't be here. And they live at 13324 Summit Avenue Southeast in Monroe. And their name is Ivan and Jared Krelock. And she says, hello, my name is Ivory Krelock. I wanted to share my thoughts with you all about whether to grant license to business in Monroe to sell recreational marijuana. My husband and I just recently moved to Monroe, November 4th, 2013. We plan to work here, to live here, to make friends here for a long time to come. We want to raise our children here. With all that in mind, I hope you can understand that we want the best for Monroe, because anything that affects Monroe will now affect our friends, our jobs, and our family. When I think about Monroe possibly granting licenses to businesses to sell recreational marijuana, I really don't see it as a step forward for our city. I don't see us becoming a safer place with that decision, and I don't feel more comfortable living here. Thank you for considering my family, and I hope we can all make the decision to improve our city and make it a safer place for travelers, residents, and visitors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I saw another hand earlier. Yes, please come forward. Please state your name and also your address for the record. Thank you.
Melissa Mogelson. My address is 13410 231st Avenue Southeast, Monroe. I just want to briefly speak on children, because that's what I feel extra passionately about. I was researching this topic, and I came across this statistic by the National Household Survey on Drug Abuse Report. So the children who first smoke marijuana under the age of 14 are more than five times as likely to abuse drugs as adults than those who first use marijuana at age 18. We in Monroe are trying to raise the bar for our children. We are trying to help them in our schools. We are trying to implement higher standards for their education. And I ask you, is this the message that we want to send, that having marijuana readily available, and I am not naive, I've got a teenager also, it can be found, especially if it's legal. It will be found, and it will be distributed very quickly. That is not the image that we want. That is not what I want for my daughter to be surrounded by. I want her to be encouraged. I want her peers to be encouraging her to do great things. I want our city to be supporting that, not to be putting out fires constantly because of this new marijuana issue that we have. So I urge you to think about our teenagers in Monroe, to really ponder what effect this will have on them, because as much as we would love them to make wise choices and smart choices all the time, they don't. They are learning. That is where their brain is right now. They are learning. And we, as adults, as responsible adults, need to help them in that process. So I urge you to make the right choice and to extend this moratorium for as long as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward? Yes, please come forward. Please state your name and also your address for the record.
I'm Janelle Buchanan. My address is 21124 Welch Road, Snohomish, Washington. And I am just so proud to be part of this community and to hear from so many people who have a passion for both sides. I mean, I think people want what's best for our community. And I don't think there's any ill intent on anyone's behalf. So I'm a counselor in this Monroe School District, and I'm especially concerned about the image that is created when we seem to embrace a business that changes kind of a perception of what our community is about. And just a couple things that I was looking at about when we talk about the size of our community, Monroe does seem like it's getting to be a bigger community. But when we look at the actual population, I think there's only just over 17,000. And when I was looking at the Tribune, they had an article back in September, and it said, in Everett, they'll have five places that they could have retail stores. And then it says smaller cities like Monroe, Lake Stevens, and Mukilteo can have one store. And Mukilteo and Lake Stevens both have over 20,000. And I believe, the inmates at the prison count toward our population data. So, then there's almost 2,500 in the prison. So, and also it said smaller cities like Snohomish, they're not on the list, but their population is 30,000 just because the way the borders are drawn. So just when we look at what we value as a city, that we are a small city, and I think if we look at the majority of the people who spoke tonight and just what their concerns are and what their values are, I hope that you'll take that into consideration and at least extend the moratorium for further research. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Yes, please come forward. Please state your name and also your address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Lonnie Little, and I live at 1002 205th Avenue. I'm in Snohomish, but we're close to here. And I actually have four granddaughters that live in the Frylands. And as a grandmother, I'm very concerned about the children. When my husband was a child, his parents were into alcohol. And when he was a child, they thought it was cute to give him a sip of beer or whatever they were drinking when they had it. And for us to think that the adults are not going to do this same thing when they use marijuana to their children is very naive. Those who like marijuana are going to think it looks cute when they give it to their children. And if it's accessible, the more accessible it is, the more people are going to use it. And that's just reality. So we can't totally control it. It's here. But we can limit it. And if we can save some, any that we can save and prevent from using it and doing things that are destructive in their lives and basically ruining their lives, that will be a benefit. So I urge you to consider the future generation and what effect this may have on them, because it will have an effect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to address council? Anybody? Okay, I see nobody else coming forward to address council. Council, would you like to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing?
So moved.
Okay, I have a motion to close from Councilmember Cuddebeck.
Second.
I have a second from Councilmember Davis. He was closer. I
that
heard
works.
Him sooner. So I have a motion and a first.
He'll get it.
Okay, and I do have Councilmember Hanford has pressed his button, so discussion on the motion. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. One of the things in December when we passed the moratorium, we heard from several citizens and they asked for more notice for when the public hearing would occur in January. It appears that we let the monitor know well in advance and everything, but I couldn't find anything in the monitor where they put in the monitor that we were going to have a public hearing. Now maybe it came out in today's edition. I don't know.
I got an email yesterday from the coalition.
Okay. So So there's an email the day before, you know, or whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is it was asked back in December that we give lots of notice and in order for people to prepare and to make sure they have plenty of time to come and gather their thoughts and their findings. So I would propose that we leave the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing open for one more week, so that would give additional time for more people to come next week, and if they so desire. But we would then at least be we would be open and be fulfilling the wishes of our constituents. And like I said, I could not find it in the monitor anywhere. Maybe I just missed it. But I think we need to make sure that we give plenty of time to the citizens. So that would be my request. I'd be happy to make a motion if we need to do that. Not sure how that would work from here.
Friendly amendment to Councilmember Cuddeback's motion, if you wanted to. And then
okay. And I do have Councilmember Camp, who has...
I just wanted to comment that I supported that. My concern is if we leave it open for one more week and the information is not being disseminated, or has what they had a month to get this hearing out, I'm asking, how would we get the information out that we're extending it for one more week? Are there options? That would be a concern. I don't know if a week would be enough.
So I'd like Councilmember Brazel. I'm sorry, Councilmember Brazel.
I don't know if it's a promotion.
Gene, Mr. Brazel. Yes.
We could certainly put it on the website. We could put a notice in the newspaper, potentially. We can meet that timeline. So those are a couple of things that we can do. And it was posted in the newspaper, but it was in December right after we put the moratorium in place. So.
Okay. If we could be a little bit more aggressive, maybe post it a couple more times or something, that might be an option.
I have a copy of the link.
You do? No.
So a question then for council. If we're going to allow for maybe 2 weeks for public notice to go out, that's usually typical for an ordinance. Would you want to look at continuing the public testimony to approximately 2 or 3 weeks out? Councilmember Camp?
Would we be effectively tabling this motion?
I believe you would be. Oh, no. City clerk.
I'll take
says
the precedent.
No.
There they are.
Point of order. It would be first the motion on the floor is to close the public hearing. So at this time, it would be appropriate to vote on that particular motion. After the action on that motion, assuming perhaps it was the motion failed, you could then entertain a motion to postpone to a time certain, and you could determine now what time you would like that to be. Just one additional note on posting. We could post online, which would need notice. I believe that planning also has a distribution list that they send things out to. The one caveat with the Monroe Monitor is that they only publish on Tuesdays. And so therefore we could publish next Tuesday, and I believe we, as long as we have that in by this Friday, it would be able to be published by next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have Councilmember Gamble and then Councilmember Gehring. I'm sorry, Councilmember Camp, did you have anything else?
I'm done.
Okay, so Councilmember Gamble.
So it's too bad the city attorney isn't here tonight. Because my question resides around, I mean, when we put the moratorium in place, you know, part of the moratorium is to take the actions that we're taking right now by having a public hearing, by looking at maps, because the only way you can, if I understand correctly from the past, because we've been dealing with this for about a year now, or actually maybe 2 years, is that we have to be doing these efforts in order to put a moratorium in place. My question is that would we be in any jeopardy of any sort of timing issue by going another 2 weeks?
It's my recollection.
I see head shaking, so that may have answered my question.
Paul Popelka is going to come to the podium.
Regarding notice, I'd reinforce what Mr. Brazel said, that we can post on the website, do news flashes. We are legally required to notice in the paper about 3 weeks ahead of time for an initial public hearing. So we don't have any legal problem with having to renotice that far out. We can put a notice in the paper next week to reinforce the what we do with the flashing and so forth. Regarding the action tonight and the effect on the moratorium, what we need to do is, in terms of the ordinance, follow our commitment to create a work plan, work with the Planning Commission to bring back what would become permanent regulations while we're under this moratorium. That's a justification for having the moratorium. Mm-hmm. We can't continue extending it without good reason. We'd be subject to legal challenge. I don't think there would be any problem in any danger in waiting for a week, a couple of weeks to take action on the ordinance. Because I don't think anything's going to change in that time. And the moratorium is protecting us right now. And mm-hmm. part of the reason for those, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but part of the reason for the interim regs is to give us another layer of protection should that moratorium be challenged in some way.
That's exactly what I was hoping to be read into the record, so thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble, anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring, you're next.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I thought a requirement, we had to have a public hearing within a certain amount of time, and that's what this is. But if we don't have an issue with extending it till like the 28th, and perhaps if Councilmember Kovacs amenable, maybe just rescind the motion. I think that would take care of our any kind of the hoops we might have to jump through for the procedures. Thank you. And as far as justification, yeah, my understanding as well, I appreciate that, is just have to show, to justify a moratorium, you have to show that you're doing something,
right,
which we're clearly doing. We're taking, we're hearing citizen comments, we're considering it. I did, and I don't want to get off track too much because we have a potential vote on the floor. I didn't see one of the recommended actions being doing nothing, because we already are in a moratorium, so taking no action, is it really not an option to take no action? Because we already have a moratorium in place. We've heard to extend it, but we're already in a moratorium, and so there's other, it would be just continue the moratorium rather than extend it. And so I'm hearing that maybe I'm wrong here.
We had to do this.
The public hearing was the requirement. You have to have a public hearing in a certain amount of time. That's what this is doing. Mm-hmm. We don't have to. It was an extra layer of protection to do a first reading or anything regarding. We don't have to, but that we are already in a moratorium. The state law, the Liquor Control Board still doesn't have their final answers. I mean, I think we're just fine, quite frankly, leaving it as it is, running out to the end of the moratorium. By then, there should be state regulations. We're going to have more of our answers anyway by the time the next 5 months is up. So again, I don't see any harm in extending. And I don't see why we would need to, when the state still hasn't even finalized, what's going on, why we would even need that at all. But I understand wanting to be safe and wanting to, protect the city's legal standpoint. But if we want to extend to the 28th, I certainly think that'd be fine. But ultimately, I think we're fine either way. We already have a moratorium. There's 5 more months of it. Write it out. It's already there. So, thank you.
I guess it might be useful to perhaps extend it to the 28th, and then in the interim, look for some kind of a legal opinion about what you're suggesting of just simply keeping the moratorium in place. But having the interim regs gives us another layer of protection. But that's, maybe there's some legal nuances to that we should be aware of. Good or bad.
And if I may, before you, we may choose to, go the one at you route. Quite frankly, I'm interested in the one at you route myself, or just, not business licenses as well. So doing a first reading, I know you never have to have a second reading. I don't think it would just, would it die over the course of time? We may not end up adopting this at all, right?
Possibly.
We've heard a lot about tax revenue. I mean, I haven't heard anybody up here talk about tax revenue at all, so I'm a little surprised about that. We're not looking to make money off this whatsoever. again, in my opinion, thinking through this, we already have a moratorium. There's 5 months left. We're still waiting for state to actually make a decision on license. And if we can opt out, we might know that within 5 months. And so, you know, let's write it out and wait. So, anyway, thank you.
So, Councilmember Camp, I just want to verify that I didn't inadvertently turn off your light.
I turned it off.
Okay.
Because Councilmember Gehring hit my point.
Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback, you're up.
Thank you. I'm happy to rescind my original motion to allow a couple more weeks for public testimony for the public hearing. Just a couple clarifications, Paul. The moratorium, we have 5 more months. What's the exact date that that is finished? Is it June? Is it
early June?
It's
early
I'm thinking June.
Okay.
I don't recall the exact date from December.
Okay.
The 10th or the 17th.
So I just want to be clear, that is protecting the city right now. The interim ordinances wouldn't get rid of the moratorium. They're just there in case the moratorium is overturned in court. So I want that to be very clear to the public that even if we do pass interim ordinance in a couple weeks, the moratorium is still in effect. The interim ordinance just protects in case the moratorium is challenged in court and overturned. So I think that's a very important point as we take possible action in a couple of weeks. And then you stated earlier in your comments that the Attorney General was probably going to have his opinion out in 2 weeks, and that pertains to the business license route, the Wenatchee situation, correct? Whether states can,
yeah,
or cities can.
A few weeks, month. I believe what that is in relation to is whether the cities or local jurisdictions may have the authority to prohibit by
through
way of the business license
correct,
or by some other means.
Okay.
I know whether it stops there or if it would take some action by the legislature.
Sure.
I don't know.
But it's just more information.
Right.
And it could give us more credibility if we decide to go that route, the Wenatchee route, in a couple weeks. So that's why I'm in complete favor of rescinding my motion to give us a couple more weeks. But if, in case we do have to pass an ordinance in a couple weeks, again, it does not stop the moratorium. It is just another layer of protection. So
that's right.
So that's it for now.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, that's all I was going to. You hit the nail. The piece, if I remember correctly, that the attorney said in regards to the moratorium is we can't continue to have a moratorium in place without taking action. So we have to be taking, researching, doing something in regards to this. And so, yes, even if we pass, you know, the moratorium is still in place. Because if not, then it would be perceived as a, whether it was de facto ban or whatever the verbiage is.
Prohibition.
Yes, prohibition. There you go. Something to that effect. So that's why we've got the maps and colors and all that kind of stuff. And about the Wenatchee route, I can't remember. Maybe we could get the attorney, City Attorney Lowell, to. I know we've asked about that previously, and he gave us his legal opinion on that, and I'm not recalling off the top of my head.
Scott Snyder.
It was Scott Snyder. You're absolutely correct. But we have asked about the Wenatchee route, and we were given a legal opinion in that matter, and I'm not recalling off the top of my head. So it would be great if we could that.
Okay. All right, anything else, Councilmember? Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. So we have a motion that's been rescinded. So we no longer have a motion on floor.
The second needs to rescind as well, I think.
Rescind.
Okay. Thank you.
If that's the case, I would move that we extend the
public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Right. Thank you. For 2 weeks with the adding the notifications that we've discussed tonight.
Second. You said the 28th.
Two weeks. Whatever the date that we agreed on.
Okay. May I recommend going to February 4th one more week? We'll have our attorney at that meeting. Is that the minimum?
That'd be great.
Very good.
Do I understand that the motion has been revised and seconded to go to February 4th?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I have a motion, and Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, just to clarify, to make sure that the public hearing, I remember, has to occur within a certain amount of days from when we pass the moratorium in December. So I'm great with going to February 4th, but I just want to make sure we're not extending past that.
long as you have the first one.
Yes, Mr. Pakulka.
What I can tell you is that we are obligated to hold a public hearing within 60 days of passing the ordinance where we establish the moratorium.
Okay.
Whether, I mean, this constitutes a public hearing, and I wouldn't know if legally it means that extending it disqualifies it in any way. I would not think so.
No, I just want to make sure that it occurs within the 60 days, which we will. So
taking the first
step
within 60 days. And actually, even on February 4th, we'll still be within that 60-day period.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Okay, any other questions on this topic before we move on to the next item on the agenda? Councilmember Gearing.
I just want to say thanks for everybody who spoke. Different opinions, and everybody was very respectful. We've had public hearings where that isn't the case, so I applaud everyone with differing opinions who were respectful to each other's opinions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Okay, Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I wanted to echo that. I appreciate everybody coming, and it really helps council members help make decisions when you come out and speak, so thank you.
So then we just ask you to keep in mind both of our opinions.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Just wanted to echo that as well. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Is there anybody else?
Before we're all by ourselves.
Okay, I'll go ahead and I'll wait about 30 seconds to really let the room.
I got that much time.
Nice call.
Run.
Okay, I need some more water. Oh.
Okay. We're going to be in recess for approximately 2 minutes.
Door.
Let me know when you're ready, Liz. Okay, we're back on the record, and we're back on the record with comments from citizens. Now is the time for anybody wishing to talk with council or speak to council about any issue that is related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Testimony is limited to 5 minutes. Is there anybody interested in coming forward to speak? Yes. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Good evening, everybody. Nancy Truitt Pierce, 1203. What is my address? 12003 Woods Creek Road. I think legalizing marijuana is a bad idea, too, but that's not why I'm here. What I'm here is that later on your agenda, you're going to be looking at a collaboration with the school district to put up some money to help us get the grants that we need to build a field up at the high school. And that's the kind of stuff I love seeing. I strongly urge you to support that. As we've talked about when we talked about the mitigation fees, we don't have very many sources for capital. We have capital bonds, capital levies, and robbing Peter to pay Paul. Those are our sources for capital. The mitigation money is short-term and only comes in with growth anyway. So this is the kind of thing, working together as a school district in a city, that is going to take this town into the future. It's going to be exactly what we need to do to make this the best possible town to raise a family in. So thank you for even considering it. I strongly hope that you'll support it. Any questions? Or do I? No, it's not a... Okay, never mind.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else that would like to come up and talk to council? Anybody? All right, seeing nobody else, we'll go ahead and move on to the student representative, noting that the student representative is not here tonight. And now we're going to move on to our consent agenda. Councilmember Gearing.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and a second to approve the consent agenda. Before we move on with that vote, I think that our Administrator Brazel would like to go ahead and make a comment about the bills.
Thank you, Mayor. Last week, the council asked Attorney Zach Lell to research whether or not a council member had to recuse themselves to discuss or vote on the bills. And he did that research, and because we did the change to our ethics ordinance and we now follow the state ethics ordinance, he said there is no reason to recuse yourself if you're voting on the bills. However, if it is a topic of discussion to renew a contract, alter a contract, things like that, then we'll go back to recusing yourselves. And that is in an email that I sent this afternoon.
Are there any questions for Mr. Brazel? Okay, seeing none, we do have a first and we do have a second on the floor. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We're now going to move on to new business. Now, the first topic for discussion is AB 14010. This is an authorization of the mayor to sign a letter of support for a joint grant ball field application with the Monroe School District. I'd like to ask staff to provide any information on this item. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So before you, this item is for discussion, the recommended action and provision direction to staff and mayor for next steps. The Monroe School District is seeking city support of and possible assistance in completing phased improvements to the three ball fields at Monroe High School by installing all-weather artificial turf and lighting. The project will result in a new multi-use facility that can be used jointly by the school district and the City of Monroe Parks and Rec Department for the benefit of our community, as well as a venue for tournaments that will result in overnight stays by visiting teams and their families. So the Monroe School District formally requests that the Mayor and City Council support the efforts of the Monroe School District by means of a letter of support for use in their tourism promotion area grant application, and further, to consider assisting the school district in their first phase of the ball field improvements in an amount not to exceed $100,000. As far as impacts for on a budget for us, request for financial support of the first phase of the ball field improvements in the amount of $100,000 by authorizing an expenditure from the city's contingency fund is consistent with city council policy on use of that fund. And then under time constraints, the Monroe School District seeks a letter of support for their tourism promotion area grant application and is prepared to submit an application. So, and in attachments, there is a letter, a cover letter from the Assistant Superintendent John Mannix, who's here tonight. There's also a ball field improvement project timeline that's provided by the Monroe School District. There's a copy of the resolution of the City of Monroe 2013-18 that actually specifically points out that this is a good opportunity to partner with the school district, and the city is committed, as the resolution says, to funding assistance in the development of those three ball fields. And there's also a copy of the Monroe School District resolution that basically stating the same purposes of jointly working with the city on projects such as this. And then there's also a field concept drawing and phase construction cost estimate summary. And so with that, I'm going to turn over Assistant Superintendent John Max is here to answer any questions you may have for him.
Please come forward.
Thank you very much for considering this issue. I don't have any prepared remarks. I think
okay.
Mike has laid the groundwork quite nicely, and I'm just here to answer questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. And maybe for either one of you. Why the $100,000 number? It's a nice round number. Just curious about the number itself. Is the school district not putting any money towards it? What's the $100,000? How does it help? You know, et cetera. Just a little bit more information on that number, how you
certainly
came up with it.
Glad to. The total budget for all three ball fields, when all is said and done, is $3.16 million.
Sure.
We're looking to implement the first phase, which is the first ball field, and costs for that are $937,000. 276. That's what's estimated for the cost. We have been working through a variety of means to come up with some money. The grant is, of course, one option and opportunity. Our board of directors has indicated that we have three pieces of property that are surplus to our needs. We have harvested timber that is on one of those and raised about $210,000. We are currently marketing one of the three pieces and seeking to get legal access ways so we can market the other two. Because, of course, as you might imagine, they were ceded or donated to the district over time, and they're very remote. So there's a few issues to address there. In trying to put this package together, it was actually the former mayor who had indicated that the city could be willing to participate in helping to fund that field to the tune of $100,000.
Okay.
So I'm simply asking for official blessing for that particular amount.
Good. And I may not have been privy to that conversation, so I appreciate that background information.
Sure.
And so what happens if the grant's not accepted for whatever reason? The worst case scenario, we're saying we're willing to throw in, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't get my first question totally answered. Is this matching funds? Or is the $100,000, it's just throwing in separate from the grant? Like, you guys are going to apply for the grant, and
correct,
we're just tossing in $100,000?
Correct.
Okay.
And
okay,
if, for instance, we get the grant, and I intend to have a conversation about whether we could seek maybe a little bit more than the $200,000 that was available to us in 2012. You know, see if $250,000 or $300,000 might be amenable. But, you know, even with that at $300,000 and your participation, if you deem that appropriate, that's $400,000 out of $937,000 for just the first field. So we have significant work to do to raise the funds to be able to complete that field as well as the subsequent two fields we intend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So then the question I was going to go to, what happens if you apply for the grant, you don't get it?
We'll keep working. We'll keep raising funds. We may ultimately have to try and run a bond issue. I don't know the exact answer.
I would
to
only
that
run
question,
one
yeah,
bond issue if you have to. Yeah, not two. Let's save it for the buildings. Yeah. Sorry, that's your ball thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say that's his ball field?
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah. It's in your ball field, yeah.
So you just keep trying to raise money. So we've thrown $100,000 in, and you've just, that money's just sitting there. I'm just trying to figure out what
actually
happens at that point.
Actually, that money stays in your coffers.
Okay.
As my understanding, would stay in your coffers until
okay,
such time as the project was underway and the funds were being expended.
And then we're, okay, so once something's actually done, then
yes.
And that, I appreciate that information a little as well. That's great.
If I can interject, sure. The one of the alternatives that council could consider is to have that resolution where council would say in an amount not to exceed $100,000 with the intent that it would come back to council before it gets formalized. So there may be a budget amendment or some sort of interlocal or other formal documentation or instrument that would need sure, to be approved. So if you decided to go that route, again, it would be not to exceed that. It gives them some certainty as to what the city would be willing to participate with financially. But there would be a cross-check where it would come back before council. Again, there's also another alternative, which is just to do what council did last year, which is to support the proposal and not necessarily give a monetary amount, where then the school district might ask for additional funds from the grant. There isn't a maximum. There's not a limit to how much you can apply for.
Not that I'm aware of.
Correct. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, no, sorry. Thank you. $300,000 last year. What happened? Somehow that was there and then it was gone. And
well,
I don't remember all the
right.
What were the details on that again?
The grant was submitted in 2012. And on the grant application, the school district had indicated that the grant period was to be from 2012 through 2014. Giving us a little over a year and a half at that point in time to raise additional funds and implement the project. Unfortunately, that's not actually the way that the county and the tourism promotion area grant process worked. They earmarked the funds for expenditure in 2012. And when they were not expended in 2012, the grant lapsed. So we'll, at this point, looking at a new grant, I will be submitting it for expenditure in 2015 to give us sufficient time to sell some property and do the other fundraising and acquire the balance of the funds.
2015 seems like, that seems like a long way. Just to, you know, on my initial impression, I'd like love to see the field done sooner than 2015. And so it's really the 2015 date, so you can raise all the.
Yes.
Looking.
We have been doing a lot of preliminary work. We've hired some a design firm. We've done some geotechnical analysis. We've done the topographical analysis. We're working right now on a drainage analysis and doing all the things in the meantime that are required leading up to actually seeking a permit and undertaking the project. The primary reason for putting it out that far is simply because we need the time to raise the finances to be able to undertake the project.
Could be sooner. So is it expended by 2015 or only in that year? If you can get it by 2015, that'd be great.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I could certainly write the grant that way. Again, we thought we were doing that initially, so I need to sit down and have a conversation with the folks at the county who oversee the grant process to make sure what their parameters are so we're in sync with them.
Yeah, and I'd certainly love to see it done. So I'm absolutely in favor of a letter of support with regard to what fund the money actually comes out of. It would come back to us anyway, and so it sounds like there would be formal action. Were we to take alternative number two, which is the I'll let you scroll down there. It's the one you talked about.
Got to scroll up. Or down scroll in the attachments.
That's the one where you a commitment not to exceed the $100,000 as you were talking about, and then.
Yeah, and again, that the source of that would have been council contingency. Okay. So that actually is in alternative number two. You could certainly take that out and just say with the commitment not to exceed $100,000, and then address the source of the funding at a later date. And yes, so.
Yeah, I don't know if we would have to alter it later or whatnot. Being a little bit more generic in that particular area would be my preference, but there are other lights on, so I'll let other people talk. But certainly within number one, look forward to seeing the field done. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Cuddebeck.
Thank you. Mike, have you guys had any discussion on joint usage and what that would look like? And so have there been preliminary discussions on that?
Yeah, we've had preliminary discussions, and we're both amenable to that. We haven't formalized it.
Okay.
We don't have anything that would preclude being able to utilize it outside of school-based activities.
Okay.
For the public.
Okay. I think if I remember when we had discussions about this before, that the intent was really to hopefully bolster those fields up there for city use and obviously school district use, but then with the intent at Lake Tai of possibly having some space there instead of the baseball fields for a music stage. And so the long-term vision might be kind of, you know, a longer-term vision of getting that stage and space at the Lake Tai fields.
Well, what we've been looking at the Lake Tai is with the with improvements to accommodate more outdoor events, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Is that we haven't, when we look more closely at that, is we don't believe that we necessarily would need to lose the field.
Okay.
We can still utilize the existing fields there. But kind of like looking down the road here a little bit, you know, the school ball fields project, and of course any improvements to Lake Tai. We do have the park plan update that's just getting underway, and I expect that the school, the high school project, and also another update as far as a plan to improvements to Lake Tai Park, that will be incorporated in that plan. And what that would allow us to do as a city is I could write grants then specifically, you know, just in support of, get some state and federal money in support of the school project and course, Lake Tide improvements by it being updated in our park plan.
And is there any way to use any of our capital dollars for park?
Not at this time for
okay.
the high school.
Okay.
About a year from now, when the park plan update or when the comprehensive plan is adopted, then
there might be.
It'd be about a year and a half. The 2015
right.
comprehensive plan update, it's due, I think, June 1st or July 1st of 2015. And part of that you have scoped is doing the park master plan.
Sure.
Your capital facilities plan is supposed to identify the projects that you're going to use REIT for, as well as impact fee funds for. And that's intended to help prioritize what we're going to build. And so some of the things that we're talking about here tonight, in order to use those REIT dollars, we need to update the master plan. So it isn't in a year. It's about a year and a half. And then you're looking at working that into the 2016 budget. Because what gets completed in mid-2015 in terms of CIP, you know, capital work, folds into the budget process for 2016. Yep.
Okay,
did I get that right? Or close. You can say no.
nodding heads,
yeah.
Moving on.
Yes. The park plan update is, you know, the first phase underway, we hope, and then the second and third,
sure.
you know, really just a lot more leverage can come from the city, you know, when we're able to include this project in the park plan update.
Right. And then, Mr. Mannix, so you had said to kind of fulfill the project in 2015, does that mean it has to be done, or can it be started late 2015 and finished in 2016 kind of thing? You don't know, or you have to find the parameters?
I want to check one more time with the folks at the county. My understanding is they're looking at a calendar year for expenditure.
Okay.
Now, I may be able to get approval to spread over a couple of calendar years and operate in that fashion. What it may mean, though, is the school district may be able to start the project earlier and expend funds that we've raised or have in hand, and then access those grant funds in 2015 as the project is, you know, coming towards culmination.
Okay. Well, I'm in favor definitely of a letter of support. I think anytime you have a collaboration such as this, and with I think the direction our park plan is going in, some of the discussions we've had for the adventure starts here and what we're trying to provide, it makes sense. And just, you know, food for thought is we took $50,000, we're out of contingency funds for Music Fest, which didn't necessarily build something or change something, which was a great event, which I strongly support. But, you know, moving forward, it's great to invest in some capital things that can change long-term the amount of sports venues we have here in our community. So, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Gamble.
So the first one field out of the gate, which field? In the
yes, we do.
There it is.
A very
there
important
you have
question.
It.
Here we go.
That's going to start.
I believe the cricket field is going to be.
The three fields that will be there ultimately will be a 90-foot base path field that will be suitable for junior varsity baseball and men's baseball. Outfield fences at the, you know, 320, 325 foot range. A second field will be a 60 foot softball field, suitable of course for junior varsity softball, adult rec league softball, and because of the 60-foot base paths with the inclusion of a portable mound, can be used for Little League baseball as well. The third and final field will be kind of a utility field, much like the softball field in many respects. It'll have a 60-foot base path, but we can also look at, you know, is there a need for a 70 or 80-foot 80 might be getting a little far because, of course, the longer the base paths, the farther you want the outfield fence out there to provide adequate play space. But it could be 60, 70 foot. I have not seen a great need for a 70-foot base path field in our community to this point, so we're kind of concentrating on 60. But we have options there, and again, it can be used for softball without a portable mound and then for Little League baseball with portable mound. Because of the disparate sizes of those fields and the amenities, there's quite a substantial price difference between the boys' the baseball field at $1.6 million and the softball field at $937,000. So we did determine to start with the softball field, partially because it makes our target, you know, a little more attainable, at looking at a little over $900,000 to be raised. And we can actually pull the trigger at $775,000, because that'll be the subsurface drainage and the field material itself and some of the fencing necessary. And then we could add a second phase with the electronics package, with the lighting and the scoreboards and other, you know, PA system and such, for an additional $162,000 roughly at a later date. So
John, if yes. I can interrupt, on
please.
page 12 in the PDF online, there's a configuration of three fields. There's a 215-foot field. It says fast pitch, softball.
Correct.
A 200, and then the 325, that's obviously the baseball field. Are you talking about for phase one being the construction of the 215-foot one?
That is correct.
Okay.
I'm not sure I can go 600.
No, that's exactly the information I was looking for.
Partly because of cost and partly because
that is also the bigger need.
Conscious of Title IX balance and trying to ensure that, you know, the boys aren't getting fields that are significantly better than the girls. So for both those reasons, we focused on the 215-foot field, which, although primarily softball, again, fast pitch, adult rec, can also, you know, support Little League baseball.
Councilmember Gamble, go ahead. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, no, I was just going to read it. I mean, obviously it's a baseball field, so I don't know. No, I mean, it's beyond just the baseball. I mean, we talk about all through the summertime the amount of tourism that is generated by our parks and our sports fields and the tournaments that are run on a regular basis, and just, you know, there is a big-time city benefit. You know, from that perspective, I do have two children that also, you know, play baseball and softball, if you didn't
you
know
do?
That.
No, goodness.
And just knowing the conditions of the fields and also the fields that we travel to, you know, this is definitely a need within our community. And I'm glad to hear that I have both a son and a daughter, as I stated, so I would be happy with either. But knowing the conditions of the fields that we have to use, the softball field for the high school is definitely the bigger need, in my personal opinion, because currently the Park Place field is where the high school girls play. And we do a lot of work to keep that thing in the shape that it is today. So, yeah, I am full support.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any comments, discussion? Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. John, thank you for your comments. I guess for me, I'm, first of all, full support of a letter. I think it's a great collaboration, absolutely. I'm just trying to get my head around this, the $100,000 that you want, that you're asking the city council to pitch in, and how that contributes to the overall the overall end project at $3.1 million, kind of what impact that has and where the school district is at so far. Because based off the timeline that was included in the packet, if I'm looking at it correctly, and really so far the school district's only been able to obtain for sure without any additional grants or anything like that, $400,000 without the city, $100,000, am I correct there?
Right. We have right now a little over $210,000 in the bank, if you will. We are marketing one piece of property that should bring in something in the neighborhood of another, you know, $130,000 to $170,000. So let's talk about $150,000. That'll give us $360,000. The grant, again, I want to have a conversation and see what, you know, might be supported by the tourism promotion committee. If it's $200,000 or $250,000 or $3,000, you know, that obviously gets us a bit closer to our overall target. We are still short and need to come up with a little bit more. We have some limited resources, but are struggling, quite frankly, to be able to even get to that first field without, of course, adding this to a bond issue someplace. And the figure really came from the mayor's predecessor, who at one point in time initiated a conversation and said, you know, the city would likely be willing to participate at that rate. So I'm here asking if that in fact still continues, I guess, at this point in time. Partially because certainly a letter of support will be very helpful in sure. helping us to attain a grant, but a financial commitment is infinitely more helpful in showing that it's a community endeavor and that the community as a whole is working towards this particular goal, not just the school district alone.
Councilmember Rasmussen, you still have the floor. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble, you were next up.
Yeah, just a clarification, because you had said that, you know, really 700 and something based on some of the...
775.
Is where we need to... So I was just doing the math in my head as you were adding that up. You know, that $100,000 gets us just about there with the property sales.
Darn close.
Is that where that number came from? Was that...
You know,
I mean, I know it came from the mayor's predecessor, but I'm
did.
Just and in those. I mean, have those numbers that you threw out? You thrown them out before? I guess is what I'm asking.
I'm not sure. I
what I mean
that
by
question.
That is that
Sorry.
These the capital resources that you just mentioned,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Those you've shared those before. You shared those with the mayor previously.
No, actually, he was not aware of that number. The budget changed initially when we did the geotechnical work. We found there was a lot more, and excuse me, the term that was used by the engineers digging the test wells and analyzing the soil was primordial muck under the baseball fields. It gets wet, it stays wet forever. So we have to actually dip down much deeper than we thought. We have to pour a concrete base over the entirety of all three fields and then provide drainage on top of the concrete for water to run off and exit, you know, to come through the artificial turf and exit that area. So our cost increase last July, you notice on the cost summary there's a July date. Prior to that, we were actually thinking we could do the fields for a little bit less money than it ended up being the case after we did the topographical and geographical studies. And I had estimated that we'd receive somewhere between $150,000 and $180,000 for the timber harvesting of our property up off of Old Pipeline. We exceeded that. So numbers that I may have been using when the mayor initiated that $100,000 conversation were actually a bit less than they are now in terms of budget, but we got a little bit more for the timber. I honestly don't know where he came up with...
Oh, to steal from Councilmember Gearing. I think it was a nice round, significant number.
I was trying to figure out where it came from.
No,
too.
I think that's
exactly.
I
don't think it was supposed to, you know, achieve the goal. It was a participation in the process.
Correct.
And a good faith effort, if you'll.
He didn't say we want to contribute 3.3333% to the.
She had, but no, I can't say in all honesty that was the case.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I just wanted to echo one of the things that Councilmember Kodabek had said. There's, we've used, when we did that the concert in the park, we've used this fund before. My question for just making sure we have had the time to think through. $100,000 is still $100,000, and mm-hmm. we're not out of the woods yet. But it does have, and one of my continuing themes for an item next week as well, that there really is a I can see a real positive economic development aspect to this too, with the ability to have tournaments and a benefit to everyone. And so from that aspect, it certainly makes it. I never like to write a check for $100,000, but I see a lot of positives there as well. Was there ever any thought giving into, since the high school plays next to the Catholic Church, I believe the high school baseball team,
yes.
Was there any thought giving at all to, and if you're going to have to, I'm just thinking that the cost of having to pour concrete underneath, and then you're going to have the pad and then the AstroTurf on top, just the... any thought to beautifying, to really doing up the field of Park Place? I mean, we're the one team that has to bus their kids to the home game. I get it, and that's a bummer. But still, we have an existing field. Has any testing been done there? Could you make that field, amazing with field turf?
We have not done the geotechnical analysis, so I don't know what the soils are and how deep. I don't know what the drainage is. Having been on that field, the soils are better in terms of drainage than they are at the high school. upgrading that field with artificial turf and lighting would probably be slightly less expensive than doing it at the high school. One of the reasons, though, we feel strongly that we need to do it at the high school is just for PE, for our, you know, not the athletes and the student athletes, but just for the physical education program. We're running so many students out onto those fields, and we're having difficulty keeping grass in place. They can't use them and play on them for much of the school year because of the moisture and how the soils retain moisture. So we need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars there, digging down and just bringing in sand and you know, reseeding and such to make them even usable for PE. Long term, we would like both. We would like improvements at Marshall Field and Memorial Stadium. We'd love to see some kind of baseball, softball, football, soccer, lacrosse, you know, complex there that could be utilized by the community. Certainly, you know, scheduled by Parks and Rec, and there would be light use from the school district there at that location, given that we no longer have a middle school. Sky Valley Education Center still uses those fields for their physical education, but it would be fairly light use and heavy community use. Mm-hmm. Again, ideally, we need both, but for our own admitted purposes, our purposes, we need those fields at the high school in addition to whatever might ultimately come downtown.
It was certainly nice to have those there. I just, when you had said, talked about the extra work that needed to be done, I saw numbers flashing, and I'm thinking, you know, are you ever going to get, you know, the money to do it? You know, I mean, it seems like that just drives the, that's why the cost is up. So, you know, I want to see it happen. It makes me nervous.
Cost, but it's not orders of magnitude. Okay. You know, it increased the cost for that field, and I hate to even quote a number tonight. Because I haven't looked at that cost estimate in quite a long time, but my recollection, you know, is well under $200,000. So it is more expensive, but again, we need the fields there for PE as well as athletics. And then our hope was, of course, it could be used by the community as well, after hours, weekends, and such.
And just for my last comment, and I appreciate the time, Mayor. With regard to a potential bond issue for 2015, if this was something, let's say the money didn't come. We've thrown it in. It's just you're not raising the money. We don't have the 3 point, you know, whatever. By the time 2015, looks like we're going to lose, you know, whatever. Let you get the grant. Will the 2015 bond? Will what's in being asked for in the bond already have been done by then? Will it be too late to say, hey, you know, we're doing buildings and fields, things like that? So just is there flexibility to include this in what you're also considering?
Taking a long-range look at all of our facilities, and certainly this will be one of the things that are in there. I think we're going to need school buildings as our top priority, and this town has not supported capital bonds. We've put out 20 in the last 25 years, and we've passed 3. So we're going to probably need to be a little conservative with what we go out, unless you guys really help us a lot. I don't think we're going to get enough money in a bond to do all the buildings we need, all the repairs we need on our existing buildings, and athletic fields. We'll look at it, but I'm looking at all the priorities, and we got to house kids, and we've already got 900 portables, as you've heard before. So we're going to have to fix that as our top priority. And I hope we can get this far, but that depends on how big a bond we can pass.
And that's about being, you know, aggressive towards
our
that and putting all the energy, but that's a different conversation.
Has been working since last May in to the direction of providing a set of recommendations both on specific projects and a threshold that committee feels the community might be willing to support to the board of directors in late June or early July of this year. Now, it's still up to my board of directors to determine what goes on the ballot. And so, and actually in 2010, they changed the committee's recommendation a little bit because they recognized the difficult economic times and the impact to local citizenry. They reduced the request and reduced the list of projects that the 2009 committee had recommended. That may well happen again. But, you know, we still have at least 6 to 8 months latitude in determining what projects would go into that bond.
Okay. And I appreciate that. It comes out of concern, you know, not missing an opportunity, want to see it all done, and we're going to do this, and then it's not going to happen, you know, and that kind of thing. It's like,
If it helps at all, the ball fields have been discussed. I did kind of a straw poll at our last meeting last week, and it rose as one of the priorities. I can't say yet where and whether it will be at the top of the final recommendations, but it is certainly being recognized as a priority by some members of that committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Just one quick question. So just to clarify, for the school district to pass a bond, a capital bond, it's a supermajority.
Supermajority, 60.
So I think that's just relevant for people 60, to understand.
60.
For us, it's just over 50. For the school district, it's 60. And so that's just good information. When I hear people talking about you guys got to hit it aggressively and do it, it is much harder for the school district to pass a capital bond. So, thanks.
You can build a sports facility.
Yeah.
And we'll take the lead. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Is there a motion?
We just, I thought it was
a motion. Or just
we're getting to that.
I would like direction in the form of a motion just so that I know that that is the majority
for
the alternative.
Stan, you don't want to do it.
Councilmember Gamble.
So moved.
What is so moved?
Number one. Read.
The lazy man.
Number one, number two, or number three?
You want me to read one of the alternatives? All right. Motion to authorize the mayor to submit a letter of support to the Monroe School District for use in their tourism promotion area grant application with a commitment not to exceed $100,000 from the city contingency fund for use to complete the first phase of ball field improvements at Monroe High School.
Second.
All right, and I've got a first and a second. I do want to verify with the school district, though, you will not need these funds until 2015. Is that correct? Okay, so this would not impact the 2014 budget. This would be out of the 2015 budget.
We may want to do an amendment to restrict those funds in the contingency.
Okay. And we can cross that bridge when we get there, but we should make certain that the letter of support reflects that. So I would ask that if the motion passes, that staff would put that together appropriately. So thank you. All right, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Would you consider a friendly amendment to not necessarily city contingency fund, but just in general, so that we can be more flexible, perhaps, in where the money comes from?
I agree with that.
You're the first. Who's the second? Are you the second?
No,
I was the second.
It's just removing the word city contingency fund, so we can, it may come from there. We don't actually say that. Wouldn't that not give more flexibility?
It would give more flexibility, yeah.
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Good point.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
It's general fund, right? Actually, it would be...
Wouldn't that create more opportunity?
You can't use capital funds because it's not in your...
Oh. We can do it this way, but we don't have to say it. It just feels like it gives us more options if we
whatever makes you feel happy. Kurt.
Come on.
I agree with that. Depending on timing of
we may want to.
I will amend my motion.
I will second the amendment.
Thank you. Thank you for considering that friendly amendment.
So I'm understanding that it's alternative number two. We are removing from the city contingency fund out of alternative number two.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion on the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. All right. We are now moving on to our second item. And our Mayor Pro Tem will be taking this one. So, as I read before last week, I would ask the city clerk to note my recusal in the official minutes for the meeting. The reason for my recusal is that I am employed by the contracting party, Snohomish County. My position with the county is that of an employee, and my compensation consists entirely of fixed salary. There is no contingent component of my compensation package. Pursuant to RCW 4223040, and based upon my consultation with our city attorney, who's not here, I accordingly have at most a remote interest in the agreement and am recusing myself from participation in this matter.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, you took the gavel.
Yeah, well, he gets the gavel. Oh. Can't play with it.
Very well. I Yes, we. I am entertaining a motion for the recommended action.
Or so moved.
Second.
We have a. I'm sorry. Was that?
So moved.
Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Gehring, to authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the non-exclusive utility operation franchise agreement with Snohomish County, and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate. Any discussion, please raise your hand since I can't see your red lights. No discussion. I'll take the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say aye. Carries 7-0. So we want to notify the mayor that we are done.
No, leave them out there.
Oh, how quickly they things turn.
Okay, we are now moving out of new business and into council member reports. Council member Hanford.
Thank you. Wanted to say I appreciate the proceedings this evening and the citizen comments. Appreciate it so much between both sides, and so enjoy having these seats filled with active participants. Makes this job so much more enjoyable. It sometimes makes for longer evenings, but it truly shows that people care. That's appreciated. Second thing is, I had a death in a family member in Arizona, and so my father and I will be traveling down, and my brother, this next weekend for memorial service, and I will not, unfortunately, here next Tuesday. My flight will be arriving about now, next Tuesday. So unfortunately, I won't be here, but that's why I won't be gone.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Nothing. Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Davis.
Nothing.
Councilmember Gamble.
Go Hawks.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Just one quick thing, and I really appreciate everyone. I'd ask for a little bit of a discussion next week. It's been a long time since we talked about goals and vision and stuff like that. Want to make sure we're having a good conversation with regard to that kind of stuff. And I really appreciate how just the economic development, I just don't want to see that lost. And I'm not trying to beat any dead horses or anything. I want to make sure that it's what's gotten us out. It is what has gotten us through a very difficult economic time. So making sure we have a good conversation about what's important to us with that, what's important to our new administration with that. Along those lines, just made up a draft of just for discussion purposes only, no action, just simply discussion for next week. Our city vision, our city mission, our what our council goals and values, specifically with regards, so we can talk about where does economic development fill in with that. So I have this, again, it's purely draft, purely for just to spur some discussion for next week. If you wouldn't mind taking one and just passing it down. Again, this is all my own, in a way representing full council opinion or the city's opinion. Just for, since I had asked for it next week, at least you knew at least what I was thinking, regardless of whether or not you agree. Just, you know, so we can have the conversation. So again, I don't want that to be lost. I know there are some other ideas with regard to that, but it's what's gotten us through, and so I want to make sure that everyone's opinion on that. Voiced from a council standpoint, it's our responsibility to, you know, provide direction in that way and sync up. So with that, that's for next week. I just wanted to pass that along. Otherwise, I have nothing. Thank you.
So we'll make certain that we include that in the packets for next week under that agenda.
It's a draft. It's just purely.
It's just a draft. It says draft there. All right. And now we'll go to staff and department reports. We're going to start off with Mr. Feilberg. Yes.
It's all under work.
It's right here. Could you give just a summary overview of it?
Lots of stuff going on.
Thank you.
Nice. So I think there's 37 projects we're working on right now. The big one getting underway right now is the roundabout at Chain Lake Road and North Kelsey Street, which we're hoping to have open by November 1st. And then we'll be starting soon on going out for proposals for consultants on the Charity Place project from Chandler Road to Woods Creek Road. Those are the two big ones. And the wastewater treatment plant is pretty much all wrapped up. And just working for some paperwork to get done and that. And same thing with the Highway 2 Old Owen project. That's all done, but we're still waiting for paperwork to get hashed out with the state on that. That's why it's still in the report. So lots of things happening. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And if you have any suggestions on how you want to receive information, that would be welcome too.
Okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I just wanted to congratulate the city staff on the grant for the extension of, I guess it's Tourney Place. We've been talking about that. So thank you, and congratulations on getting that big grant. That's a big deal.
Okay. Any other questions, comments for Mr. Feilberg? All right. Seeing none, next person that we have up is Mr. Farrell.
Thank you. I didn't submit a written report, but I just want to note that I did put in an application for a booth at the Evergreen State Spring Festival. Saturday and Sunday, 26th and 27th. So we'll have a booth there, lots of information. We'll share that. A lot of information
with that. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Farrell? Okay, seeing none, Mr. Popelka.
Quick update, and I wanted to touch on one item in particular, but I don't think we've got anything new in the last week or two, but we're still quite busy to pretty good backlog with subdivisions and building projects and enforcement, conditional use permit, lots of things going on. And actually, we're beginning to make some progress on the backlog as well. These are things processed. I did want to mention the 2015 update. The discussion next week in economic development, I think, is great timing in a couple ways. One is that a reminder that a week from Thursday, next week, the 23rd, is the community visioning workshop at Park Place, which is a great place to hear and share some information about our vision for the city. And in February, perhaps March, would be a we would schedule a economic development workshop with council on this 2015 update. So we're at a good stage now to really take full advantage of these events that are
very good
coming in the near future.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Seeing none, we have next, Diane, Mrs. Nelson.
In your packet is the annual update on the impact piece for both parks and streets, and it just shows how much money we have and when it has to be spent by. Per the municipal code, I'm supposed to report to you once a year on it, so that's very important. And after you look at it, if you have any questions, please let me know.
Any questions, Mr. Hanford?
Thank you. When I got my city bill this month, I got the good description that we had asked for about the rate hikes, and I read through it all, and it was so excellently done. Just focusing on the positive, you know. But by the way, here's the negative. It really was well done, and I really appreciate that. I think it was you, but whoever handled that, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? All right. Administrative report. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. The first thing I wanted to speak on is I had the opportunity and the pleasure to go to the chamber lunch today, and I was accompanied by, or actually not accompanied, but Councilmember Cutterback was there as well, and Principal Lombardi from the high school did an amazing report on what they've done at the high school in regards to improving the student scores, in particular to algebra. They have done some amazing things up there, and I just want to commend them for the work that they've done, the way they've turned around the program up there, and myself having two daughters that graduated from Monroe High School, I got to say the staff was exceptional. When my students were there, or my children were there, and the things that they've done since they left is just outstanding. So if you get the opportunity to either meet with some of their staff or the board members to find out what they've done, I would encourage you to do that. They're excellent job. Kudos.
or to watch him do a auction, Lombardi. He's phenomenal.
Good.
Excellent. And then we provided a current work list. Council had expressed interest in seeing where we are on projects. So the planning staff and myself put together a list for council. We kind of outlined everything that we have going, from long-range planning to sign permits, you name it. We kind of listed it there. It doesn't get into the detail, but it does give council a pretty good outline of what's happening. In regards to property sales, I listed the detail that I could without divulging some of the more confidential aspects of the transactions, such as the name of the businesses that are going to be coming in and that type of thing. So the question for council, of course, is there anything that we missed, anything that you'd like to see in the future?
And likewise, is there anything, we realize that it's a pretty exhaustive list, mm-hmm. So is there material on there that doesn't matter that we can remove from the list? Again, we don't want to give you what you don't want. We want to give you what you're looking for. So to that, that means both not giving you more than you want. It also means not giving you less than you want. So if you could get some feedback, either if you have it tonight or just email some feedback to Mr. Brazel, that would work as well.
Perfect. Okay.
Anything? Yes, Councilmember Cutaback.
Maybe, when I look at the long-range planning, is that what you're talking about, that document that lists
Correct.
All the projects?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if it would help other council members, but I'd like to know a little bit timing. Are these something that are due? Are we looking at it like marijuana code, I would assume, would be 2014 to 2015 this is going to be handled? It gives me a little bit of time frame of kind of what the workload's going to be like, because especially long-range planning, that affects, obviously, us. Mm-hmm. So maybe some timing there, a little bit, if you can do that. And I'm just kind of looking here. I think the other stuff is great. I don't know if you had talked originally about, like, DAC permits or those type of, I don't need to
we
do
didn't
that.
Get to that level of detail.
But I do like the business license, because that kind of lets you know a little bit of how maybe what's coming in. You didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can put more specific there, current applications of names of business, so we can get a sense of kind of what's happening in the business sector that might be beneficial to me. So mm-hmm. That's about it.
We can certainly look into that and
I don't know if that reveals anything.
That is what I was going to say. Staff will have to ask that question, and sure. Certainly we'll put down any information that we can.
And unless you all would prefer otherwise, I would anticipate perhaps updating this in about 2 weeks, because there may not be a lot of motion from week to week. Does about 2 weeks out sound good, and then we can kind of monitor how that is, if that's...
Mm-hmm. Play with it.
Yep. Yeah, if nothing changes, sure. Then we'll change the duration or just focus on those particular items that you would like. You also attended the Economic Alliance last week?
I did, and I was kind of blown away from the magnitude of economic development. We've talked here locally about what we can do to bring businesses into Monroe. And I was shocked to find out that this is a lot bigger than just Monroe. It's what we can do in the Pacific Northwest. For example, the 777 contract, obviously, that landed here. Now the big discussion among that group is how to build the wing and where to build the wing. I believe it's like 28 feet across and 110 feet long. Well, now that group is focusing on where can that be built and be transported back to Boeing for assembly. So it is a lot bigger than just what we're doing locally. A lot of cities, Edmonds, for example, have economic benefit zones where the city partners with, it's a public-private partnership to expand people's businesses. And what I mean by that is when they're doing like road projects, the city would get grants to expand the sidewalks, and then that business could, put tables and have outdoor venues during the summertime. Obviously, that sustains economic development, and then the city benefits in both fashions, where they can, get grant applications to do these road projects with cooperation from the businesses. So, anyway, it is a lot bigger than what we've talked about in the past, and I was kind of blown away by it. And this group is focusing on a lot of big regional issues. So at any rate, I got some information from them, and they shared a lot of pictures, which one of the pictures was the roundabout they're putting at Five Corners. It was hosted in Edmonds. So at any rate, we've already shared that with staff, and they've been looking at that and what we may do here in Monroe. So it is a lot bigger than just locally. So anyway.
Yeah. You also wanted to talk about the AWC legislative conference.
Thank you. Yes, it was expressed by a couple council members that the city action days through AWC will be January 29th through the 30th in Olympia. And if that's something that council members would like to go to, we can start organizing that. We talked today, Liz and I, about if it's more than just if we have a quorum, obviously we'd have to give notice on that. But if it's just a couple of council members, the mayor, potentially myself, then we wouldn't have to give notice. But those are the dates. If we do have interested parties, if you could let us know, that would be great. It'd be a good thing for us to show up at and be a part of. The other thing that I had is the last week we talked about the Board of Health, and Councilmember Davis had interest on serving on that. After we submitted the letter, we found out that there were other cities that submitted letters in support of Mayor Guzak from Snohomish. So one of the options is we can stand where we're at, or we can go a different direction and support Mayor Guzak in her appointment to that board, and we could still have Councilmember Davis show up at those meetings and participate. He just wouldn't be a voting member. So that we'll need to decide that this evening as well, on which direction we want to go on that.
So before we go there, are there any comments or anything about the AWC? Councilmember Kotovac.
So I am very interested in going, but I wonder if council wants to have a discussion on, you know, what our priorities are to discuss down there with some of our representatives. For example,
let's
is
include
it
that next week? Yeah.
Okay. Is yeah. that enough time to come up with something? And
we have the did you say 29th and 30th?
Yeah, next week is the 21st. So. But
it on the 28th as well.
Yeah, I was thinking at least a one-page document with maybe our top two things that we want to have a consistent message. As I've been told, no more than three, but one to two. Just food for thought. You know, maybe safety on Highway 2. We had another death and recently, someone crossing over a line at 5 a.m. And then Chairman Fred Walzer sent an email. I don't know if you got the update on that the LED lights in the middle, and they're doing that on 90, but they're continuing not to do it on Highway 2. So that might be one issue. And then the other issue might be, and this is just me brainstorming, was possibly the opt-out option and really pressuring our state representatives on that for the marijuana to say, look, we really want you guys to press this, of cities having that opt-out option. So those were two I was kind of thinking about. But maybe if we think about it and come back next week, and it'd be nice for the people who are going down that we do that jointly, have that constant consistent message. So that's my.
So before we move off that, would council like to have that on the 21st or the 28th? 21st allows us time to come back. And if we need to,
we can tentatively schedule it for both, because I would think that might be something we want to talk about and then follow up with the next week as well. So
yeah,
consider
definitely.
Both weeks actually.
Okay. So we'll put it on the 21st,
yeah,
and we can continue it to the 28th.
Sure.
Okay. All right, Councilmember Gamble, you.
Yeah, I was just going to add. I mean, that's a great. For anybody that has lobbied in Olympia, that is by far the best piece of advice. Is to get, if nothing else, just what we're about, you know, how many citizens, you know, all that, you know, different things, current challenges, all those are all things we can agree on, you know, that are, you know, that are there.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, we can.
$15,000.
Exactly, yeah. Facts, right? And just having that, you know, that sheet, and then, you know, getting some stuff that we can, you know, I wholeheartedly agree. Because when you get it helps cement the message, especially as you're getting in front. And I would be interested in that, but would only be able to attend on the 30th.
Okay. All right. So if we're done with that, let's come back to the Snohomish Health District. Council has the ability to change what they voted on that was last week or stick with what they voted on last week. So, thoughts? Councilmember Gehring?
Are you okay with being a non-voting member, I guess is kind of what it comes down to. Or are we okay with Monroe not having having a non-voting member? I mean, are you still willing to go? You'd be able to participate, but you wouldn't actually...
I would certainly prefer to be a voting member.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. But your second question also is poignant. You know, do we as a body want to have a voting member or just somebody there? So, I guess I'm okay either way, but my preference is definitely to be a voting member. So.
I'm sorry, I was looking away. Gene, I'm going to take you, and then I'll take Councilmember Cutterback.
Okay. It's kind of an interesting process. I wish they would do it a little differently in that I would like to see them have their first meeting of the year where representatives from each city could go and have a discussion and make a decision and a vote on who would represent the city's, this side of the valley. But
that's what I thought we were doing last week. So.
Correct. And it's my understanding that three, I believe, cities already submitted a letter supporting Guzak because she's done it for, I want to say, 4 or 5 years. But in order to put a new candidate forward, all the cities would have to get together, have a discussion, make a decision, and then support one member. So in order to do something different, which we can do, we would have to set up some sort of a meeting with Gold Bar, Sultan, Snohomish, ourselves, and I believe Lake Stevens, if I'm not mistaken, and get together and decide. Oh, do them.
Lake Stevens is big enough. They surpassed us.
That's why we became
one of the group.
Correct. So that would be the next step. If we wanted to have a voting member, we'd have to set up a meeting with those other cities because Gold Bar is in the same situation. They had a council member that showed interest, and they supported that by a letter. So they're in the same situation we are, essentially. So.
Councilmember Cutterback.
I was just going to mention, it's not that we don't have a voting member. Mayor Guzak is our representative for our area. So I agree with you. I attended those meetings. I would not want to go and not be a voting member. If we want more say, we might send her feedback on how Monroe is feeling about specific topics so she can better represent our area, because I know for a fact that wasn't done before, so that could be a change. And then maybe before the next time that they take, you know, suggestions for members, we do get the cities together and say, because it is better if one city isn't representing the whole group for years and years, you know. And Karen Guzak does a wonderful job, but she has been representing that group of cities for quite a while, so. And then I talked to the mayor about the community transit board. I am not able to attend this Thursday, so maybe Councilmember Davis would like to go and see if he can be a voting member of that board, which would be very interesting, but I think you thought you had a conflict.
I do have a conflict.
Okay.
I would so love to be.
I know. I thought that. I thought that was right up your...
right up my alley.
I know.
I have been told not to.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so before we, because that is on my list, and I'm trying to respect the 10 o'clock as well, but do we have anything, does council want to make a motion on what to do with the health district? Do we want to keep the letter the way that it is? Do you want to change the nomination? It's up to council. Councilmember Cutterback.
Based on Councilmember Davis's comment that he would like to be a voting member, I think we change and be in support of Mayor Guzak as our representative and possibly, you know, give her more input on some of the issues if they're pertinent to us. And then we do maybe ask, or maybe, Mayor, you have a conversation with her that next year we would like to try a new process and maybe get the cities that are represented by a block together to... have a discussion about that.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
Okay.
Is that a motion?
We need a motion on that?
If we could, that'd be great.
Yeah, because we had a motion before to do it.
Pull that motion together? Or do I, can I take the lazy man's way out?
I just seconded it.
Yes, you can.
Following Gamble's step footsteps.
Okay, so I understand the motion is to modify the council's nomination for representation for the Snohomish Health District, that the modification to that motion from last week is now to be in support of Mayor Guzak from the city of Snohomish. And as a footnote, that you would like us to open up a conversation with the mayors about doing this differently for 2015.
Correct.
Okay, so that's what I understand the motion to be. The motion is from Councilmember Cutterback, and it's seconded by Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. 7-0. All right. Next item, community transit. Councilmember Cutterback is not able to attend community transit on Thursday. The meeting is at 3:00. Are there any council members that are interested or willing to attend that meeting?
If I may, Mayor,
yes.
My washer broke, and the only time they can come and fix my clothes washer is that afternoon. Oh, so
how can you?
I know. That is the excuse, so I apologize, Council.
So is there anybody interested in attending that? Okay. I don't see anybody showing an interest in doing that.
Not interest, but I do think we've had someone publicly speak that there are laundromats in town. So.
The washer.
Shop local. Shop local.
I went to the laundromat on Sunday. You can attest. I told you.
I will donate my Easy Card.
Give it up.
Use it the laundromat. If you.
Okay. So I'm not seeing a motion. I'm not seeing a self-nomination. Okay.
It's at 3:00.
I can't do it.
All right. So we will not have somebody at that meeting then. And
just to clarify, have we sent? Is it has to be council? Couldn't be a city staff to.
The reason why you would be going would be to be part of the voting we were just talking about with the health district.
To possibly get on
the board or gotcha. To be an alternate. Yeah. Former Councilmember Steinman was an alternate,
yes.
I believe, and I was an alternate quite a long time ago. All right. Mr. Brazel.
City clerk's moot.
Oh, sorry.
She doesn't have a button.
I don't have a button. It's me. Point of clarification. I have seen two different meetings noticed for the same day. I believe there is one meeting at 3 p.m., which I believe is just the former board having a meeting, and then I believe that the selection meeting is at 5.
Okay.
I will absolutely clarify that tomorrow and get clarification, but I believe that the selection meeting is at 5, if that helps anyone.
No, that means you can go.
You go. I'm going to take 30 minutes.
They usually show up at, right at the end. That's
true.
I might be able to go. When we originally said 5, and then I saw the notice that said 3, so I thought it was 3 and the 5 was a mistake. So can anyone else go at 5? Make sure they can be there.
I don't.
Okay. I'm not seeing any volunteers.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing any volunteers, so we will.
Okay. The laundry wins.
All right. So we're going to move on to next week's agenda. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you. Tuesday, January 21st, 2014, draft agenda. First thing I wanted to draw council's attention to, you probably see the number on there, AB14XXS. One thing that we've changed is we're going to start using the term agenda bill. That's what the AB stands for. In the past, we've just used the term cover sheet, but with the help of our expertise from our city clerk, we've opted to change that to agenda bill because it is an actual form part of our record. The cover sheet becomes a form part of the record, and so agenda bill is a more appropriate term to use for that. So that is one change. I just wanted to let council know in case you were questioning that.
Thank you.
Under the consent, we have the consent agenda. Under unfinished business, I put the AWC City Action Days on there so we could have that discussion and finish that up, or at least continue it. Under new business, discuss city policy regarding economic development. Final action, appoint representatives to various boards, committees, and forums. And the draft agenda for January 28th, 2014.
Any additions or deletions? Okay, I don't see. Oh, Councilmember Gamble.
The addition would be the what we discussed, the AWC.
He said that.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
He did put it under.
I gotcha. Yeah. I wasn't listening.
Okay. Must typically new business, isn't it?
Yeah. 10 o'clock.
Okay. Extended agenda. Nothing? Okay.
Well, I do have something. I'm sorry. It was brought to my attention from Chief Quinzer that on February 4th, he would like to have the swearing in of three new officers on that date.
Oh, good. All right. Sounds good. Councilmember Gary?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Oh, darn.
Okay. I have a motion to adjourn, and I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Rasmussen. It was Councilmember Rasmussen.
I heard it.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. We are adjourned.
2 minutes to spare.
Maybe. Yes.
All right.
All right, I got a point.
For a meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, you've officially had your long.